The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, Sirius XM channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, everybody, producer number nine. So much more than a producer.
Hey.
You okay? You over the center thing yet?
Or? No, not at all.
Not at all.
Well, I don't know how you guys do this overnights in the morning.
Welcome to betting tennis.
It's fun. I'm having a great time.
So much fun. Hey, I mentioned this earlier before Matt Grissom joins us to talk college baseball. We'll go region by region. There's obviously 16 regions. He's got five regional plays for us in college baseball, but we'll do all 16. Yesterday, because we alluded to this, Christopher Sanchez of the Philadelphia Phillies. We did the whole blind resume NL Cy Young earlier, and I ended up on Miz. And then Jacob Mizorowski went out, seven innings.
I was going to say.
One earned run, 12 Ks, one walk. Well, Christopher Sanchez was like, hold my beer.
Yeah, these resumes were all good on Monday, Gil. And then ever since then, wow, they just became a whole lot better.
Sanchez extends his scoreless inning streak to 44 and two-thirds innings yesterday. That sets the Phillies franchise record by passing Hall of Famer Grover Cleveland Alexander. Oh, I used to love the days when he took the hill. In a 3-0 win against the Padres yesterday for the three-game sweep, by the way, Phillies' seventh shutout in May. How, by the way, Phillies, how did Phillies not win this month? Seven shutouts they had this month.
Oh, that's what I screwed up. I said seven in a row for them. Seven shutouts.
Seven shutouts in the month of May. It's their most in a month since July of 95 when they had eight. But Sanchez, I just want to point this out, love all the stuff I said about Mizorowski. But 44 and two-thirds, you know how much I love history. You know the record, Kelly, you know the record offhand for scoreless innings. You know the person?
No.
You should know the person. Oral Hershiser.
Oh, okay.
Who famously in 1988, regular season, right, 59 innings of a scoreless streak of 59 innings.
Wow.
Now, he also extended it, Oral Hershiser did, into the postseason that year. When I think he upped it all the way to 67 innings. But you don't count postseason numbers. So 59 is the record, officially, Oral Hershiser. And Christopher Sanchez is now, 14 and a third inning shy of the all-time record. And his next start, by the way, if he just goes like four innings, he'll end up as the third highest streak, only behind Hershiser and Drysdale. And then, by the way,
incredible.
And then Shohei, it should be pointed out, who is basically trying to win a Cy Young in his hobby. He's really trying to win a Cy Young. Like, he has made a point to that. He's going to do this. His ERA is like 0.83?
Yes.
Good God.
8.2.
8.2, pardon me. I was not kind to him.
The ninth lowest ERA entering June since earned runs became official in both leagues in 1913.
The NL Cy Young race is, and I know we're not yet in June, but it is slowly becoming, or quickly becoming, the best awards race we might have ever had in any sport. Because it's like seven deep. And every day you look up and somebody's doing something historical. Matt Grissom joins us now, ladies and gentlemen, collegebaseballinsiders.com. He was kind enough to join us here recently as well, but today, man, this is your time of year, Matt. You can follow Matt on Twitter at mgrissom. That's G-R-I-S-S-O-M. He, of course, is the proprietor over there at collegebaseballinsiders.com. What a time of year, Matt. You excited?
Oh, excited is an understatement. This is Christmas Eve, man.
Christmas
Eve. A day before regionals. We're about to have 64 games starting tomorrow. It's going to be on Squeeze Play, which is basically like the NFL Red Zone channel for college baseball. It is absolutely amazing. If you've never gotten into college baseball, this is the easiest and best time of the year too. You can see every play, every game. It is great. Now, we should have it all season long, but we'll go down that tangent later.
Explain that to us. Squeeze Play is what? How do people access that?
Yeah, I think it's on ESPN2 or ESPN Plus.
Yeah.
But basically, it's like an octobox of all the games going on. And then, like, it bounces around the country and shows, like, plays that just happened or whatever. It is awesome. It really, we should have it every weekend. I jokingly say that, but, like, most of the games in college baseball you don't see unless you're an ESPN Plus subscriber. It's not for the faint of heart to be a college baseball fan. They make it very expensive. and very difficult to get access to anything, including viewing the games. But, you know, this is the time where it does get to shine, and there's going to be a lot of eyes on it, and I think that's really good for the sport.
Yeah, and you did such a great job with your college baseball guide before the season. Was that good enough for you to do it in subsequent seasons, Matt?
Oh, yeah. The preseason guide will definitely be something we continue to do. I've been doing them personally for about the last 5 years. And then our postseason guides, which we had the honor of distributing through VSiN last year, we've gone fully online now with that through our website at collegebaseballinsiders.com. It's fully interactive. The wins, probabilities, the stats, everything will update in real time as games complete, something we couldn't do with the good old-fashioned PDF. So
yeah,
I'm really excited about that. You guys can head over there and get all three regional, super regional, and the College World Series guides for $25 while you're over there right now.
There you go. All right, let's do this. There's a 16
regionals. Ready.
16 regionals. That's going to lead to the super regionals. That's where that FACACTA bracket, FACACTA, by the way, Matt, I'm not sure you said that when you were growing up. That will lead to that bracket that we see that starts with the super regionals, leads to the...
Probably get in trouble.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't try.
don't try it. That's right. All right, so we're going to go regionals here. Now, the way that we graphically are displaying this, and Danny Higgins, shout out, did a spectacular job with this. So vertically here, these are going to be the brackets that end up playing each other in the super regional. So let's start here. I know you don't have a play in either of these two to begin with, but it's the Los Angeles regional, the winner of which is going to take on the winner of the Morgantown regional, where UCLA is a large favorite, respectively, in the first, West Virginia, a shorter favorite in the Morgantown regional. What are your thoughts on these two? And by the way, Danny's also put it, the odds look out of order, but what he's done the 1-4 and the 3-2 in each of those regionals, respectively. But one comes out of each of those to play each other in the supers. What do you have here?
Yeah, so I was really hoping to be able to fade UCLA. This team, they've played with their food all season long. I think I said it last week. I get UCLA and Georgia Tech being the short shots. They're deserving of that. But as the season has gone on, they have not had like their wow moment that I feel like you've seen even from teams that maybe finished the season with double-digit losses. But like Paul Skeens with the LSU team, they kind of fell off, I guess, the back half of the season. But then they started stringing wins together where you were like, okay, wow, this team is really good. I haven't seen that from UCLA. I have seen it from Georgia Tech. But then the playoff committee gifted UCLA this regional of a 30-24 Virginia Tech team, 34-25 St. Mary's, and then maybe the best team of the four outside of UCLA, Cal Poly, as the 3 seed. Griffin Ness is going to put them – he's Cal Poly's ace, and he's going to give them a shot when he takes the mound. But Virginia Tech is so hit or miss. Even on UCLA's worst day, I don't think they lose to Tech. So unfortunately for my fading opportunity, I think UCLA – they've rolled out the red carpet for them to get to the super regionals at least. And then in that Morgantown, again, like, let's really favor UCLA with this draw. I think West Virginia can come out of that. The model and everything on our site likes Wake Forest because their pitching staff is phenomenal. The numbers are off the charts. They actually lead the regional in just about every category, from batting average to OPS to WOBA, weighted runs created. XFIP, Sierra, that's all Wake Forest. So maybe there's some value there if you take Wake Forest to come out of that regional at plus 185. Unfortunately, though, I think if West Virginia can get through that regional, it's going to be a very tough regional, and then you get shipped out to Los Angeles, and it may not be an easy trip for them. I feel like Wake Forest, though, if they get through the regional, they've got the pitching staff that could – really put UCLA on upset alert to not make it to Omaha.
All right. Hattiesburg, winner of the Hattiesburg Regional, takes on the winner of the Gainesville Regional. You do have a play in the Hattiesburg Regional.
Yes. I think Southern Miss being even money. We make them a 70% chance to advance out of this regional. They've done it all season long. They're 9-1 in their last 10. They're one of the hottest teams. The strength schedule is 35th, so it's not like, oh, well, this weaker non-Power 5 school has just beat up on a lot of bad opponents. No, they scheduled Ole Miss. They scheduled Mississippi State. They've played the toughest opponents that will come play them. They're in Hattiesburg. They're the number one pitching staff, which, you know, I'm going to lean into every single time, hit pitching over hitting. But they're number one in all the pitching stats across the board in this regional. Virginia is not even – they're the number two seed, so to speak, but Jacksonville State is the better of the three remaining after Southern Miss. And they're really good at pitching. They're number two in virtually every stat. They're number two in virtually every offensive stat as well. So I think this one comes down to Southern Miss and Jacksonville State. And I just think when you factor in the home field advantage there at Pete Taylor Park, I was down there last year. My family, we were headed to the beach. We stopped by, and man, that turf, 100 degrees outside, hot, humid, muggy in the South. They love that there in Hattiesburg. So give me Southern Miss to advance out of their own regional.
All right, Southern Miss -110 is a play in the Hattiesburg Regional for Matt. And I'm assuming you think Florida's winning the Gainesville Regional. That's who they're going to play in the Supers?
I do. Yeah, I've been really high on this Florida team.
Okay. 12 more regionals to get to, and we will get to them, I promise. 4 more plays in those 12 regionals from Matt Grissom, collegebaseballinsiders.com. Check that out. We'll also find out who he thinks is capable of winning it all. Coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Clock is ticking on one of the best VSiN Pro offers of the year. This is your final week to get a full year of VSiN Pro. Normally $240 for just $199. When you sign up now, we'll give you 2 extra months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day with promo code PRO. You'll get daily best bets from VSiN hosted guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24-7 live video plus full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus all our special edition betting guides for every major sport throughout the year. Offer expires after May 31st. That's this Sunday. So do not wait. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use promo code PRO. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. They were showing Francisco Cerundolo getting interviewed. I wonder how much of that interview was about his brother beating Sinner as opposed to him winning. By the way, Julio.
Oh, that was Francisco up there? Yeah, for real. Like, did you hear about your brother? What makes your brother so great?
It's like I once interviewed Charlie Murphy, and I asked one too many Eddie Murphy questions for him, for his liking.
Oh, that's great.
How many times are you going to ask me about my brother? Sorry about that, Charlie. I apologize. Back to Matt Grissom, who joins us now, collegebaseballinsiders.com. All right, Matt, without further ado, because we've got a bunch of these to get through, 12 more. You have 4 more picks so far, once again, for those who missed it. Matt is on Southern Miss in the Hattiesburg Regional. Let's go to the Chapel Hill Regional and the College Station Regional. Winner of these two face each other in the Super Regionals. No play for you on either. I guess my first question is, respectively in these two, how live are Tennessee and USC, who are the two seeds in both of those regions?
So, interestingly enough, Tennessee is a game that I just played straight up -175. East Carolina is not going to throw their ace, Ethan Norby. They're going to throw Ryan Towers, and that's going to go up against Tegan Coons, which is Tennessee's ace. Our probability has 30.5 to make it through for Tennessee. The problem is the one really gets spoiled here, not to say that VCU couldn't push North Carolina because they're 9-1 in their last 10. North Carolina's pitching staff has been so consistent all season long. Walker McDuffie out of the bullpen. That this is the reason why they're in the ACC tournament championship against Georgia Tech. This is the reason why they're the 4 overall seed. So I think they're, or 5 seed, whatever they are. I've looked at so many numbers. North Carolina is deserving of the -195. I'm not going to have a futures ticket here, but Tennessee at +320 is compelling, considering they're probably going to face North Carolina in that second game, assuming they can get through ECU, who's without their starter.
All right, so you're no bet on either of these two regionals, though. You expect who to advance in both?
I expect North Carolina to advance. I did place a single game bet on Tennessee over East Carolina.
Okay.
In that one, and then I want no part in College Station. I think Texas A&M they're lucky because the committee gave them an easier draw with Southern Cal having to come over, who has virtually no offense but a really good pitching staff. The pitching staff should be able to pitch well in Blue Bell Park, but Texas A&M, so hit or miss. They could score a dozen runs a game or they could get shut out, and there's really no in between. So,
okay.
Yeah, depending on that 2-3 matchup, what Southern Cal has left with their ace and their second day starter, they may be able to push Texas A&M, but nothing more than a bet on game-by-game basis.
Winner of the Lincoln Regional takes on the winner of the Auburn Regional. I'm going to assume you like Auburn in the Auburn Regional. I wish I could have bet on, I know that Matt has a play in the Lincoln Regional, I wish I could have bet on which team Matt has winning the Lincoln Regional, and I just saw confirmation of it here on my phone. You like Ole Miss?
I do. 44% chance to advance. 29% chance to Nebraska and 25% for Arizona State. So you're talking about 3 out of the 4 teams all with about the same probability to advance. Ole Miss a little bit better because of their pitching staff. Between Hunter Elliott, who's been in college for literally 30 years, you've got Taylor Rabe and you've got Cade Townsend. You really have a great 3-man rotation. You've got Walker Hooks coming out of the bullpen, which is going to be able to shut down games. Arizona State really doesn't have the same type of setup. They've got Cole Carlone, who's really good, but that's their ace. Assuming they play against Ole Miss, they're going to have to knock them off in game one to really have a shot. But the amount of times that Arizona State, their bullpen has blown a game for Carlone, where he's had 12, 13 strikeouts and thrown 9 or 8 shutout innings that night, then he comes around and they'll lose 4-3. So, in Nebraska, not to knock on the Big Ten, but it is the 4th best team in the Big Ten. Congratulations that you're hosting in Lincoln. But it's going to get real with an SEC school and a Big 12 school coming to town.
How many SEC schools do you have in the Super Regionals? Out of 16 teams, how many SEC schools you got in there? 8, 9, something like that?
I think 4.
That's it? Just 4?
No, in the Supers?
Yeah.
I think just 4.
Just 4.
Or coming out of the Supers. Oh. I have 4 in Omaha.
No, I mean in the Supers, how many out of the 16 do you end up having? Probably over half, I would imagine. At least half. I'm guessing.
Probably 6 or 7.
6 or 7. Okay. Let's move on. Atlanta. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. You're good. Okay. You're good.
Atlanta Regional versus Atlanta Regional winner takes on the winner of the Lawrence Regional. You do not have a play. I'm assuming you think Georgia Tech, the big favorite, -650, wins in Atlanta. Or comes out of Atlanta. Lawrence, though, I know from your previous appearance on the show who you like here.
Yeah, Arkansas, their pitching rotation sets up nicely. They've already seen Missouri State twice this season, which they're going to see again in game one at Hoagland Ballpark. Missouri State and Arkansas split 1-1. Kansas undoubtedly deserving of this. I think they got shafted being the 15 seed. I think they probably should have been in that 12-13 range, but, you know, the committee likes to protect the SEC. And then they get to face the gauntlet of Georgia Tech, and our probability has Georgia Tech 90.5%. I thought the thing was broken when I saw that. But Georgia Tech's numbers jump off the page. Whether it be Kansas, whether it be Arkansas coming out of Lawrence, I don't think anybody's getting through Georgia Tech.
Okay, and Arkansas coming out of Lawrence. Tallahassee Regional winner takes on the winner of the Tuscaloosa Regional. Kelly, Florida State, -170 favorite. Tallahassee, you're a baseball school, by
the way. That's
right. Tuscaloosa Regional, though, you have a play, Matt. What do you like?
Yeah, Oklahoma State over an Alabama team that has been kind of skittish over the last couple weeks. They really had a disappointing showing in the SEC tournament, throwing their ace, Tyler Faye. Oklahoma State, complete opposite, 13-3 in their last 16 games. They're hitting the ball. As far as the field, we have last 10 game stats. They're up in the top five in all of them for the field of 64. So get hot, stay hot is a very common saying in college baseball. And then getting hot at the right time, that's what the Oklahoma State Cowboys are doing right now. And I think the Pokes get through that Tuscaloosa regional and face more than likely Florida State, but watch out for Coastal Carolina and St. John's.
Uh-oh.
Kelly Bidlin.
You don't just roll into Tallahassee at the end of May and pick up a couple.
Everybody knows that.
No idea. Everybody is Buster Posey that. Still on the team? No, he's not.
He's not on the team. I wish he were.
Miles Bailey had neither, unfortunately. Your best hitter out for the year. Y'all do have a really good rotation. You have a good closer in John Abraham. The pitching staff should be able to keep this very competitive. We actually, our superlatives, we have it ranked as one of the best pitching staff regionals. So if you love pitching, watch the Tallahassee regional.
All right, last quadrant here is very chalky. Austin, winner of the Austin regional, takes on the winner of the Eugene regional. Texas, no surprise, $6 favorite in Austin. You do like and you are making a bet on Oregon to win in Eugene.
I do. I like Oregon for the simple fact that it benefits them getting to play Yale. Jack Oman is going to go up against Yale. If Oregon doesn't lose in that 1-4 matchup, which is possible, Oman is very good, but it's unlikely. Oregon State is going to have their hands full with Washington State team that's kind of salty. Plus, Oregon State's without their ace. They lost Dax Whitney to Tommy John's earlier in the year. So it's been really taxing on this pitching staff, and they're, while they are 9-1 over their last 10, their strength of schedule is 62. They really haven't been out of the conference. They haven't had an opportunity to really go up against the nation's best, which is, there's nothing they can do about that. They're beating the teams they're supposed to beat, but I think it's going to be a completely different ball game whenever they get in this Pac-12 regional with Yale.
All right, and then Starkville and Athens, is Mississippi State and Georgia respectively should come out?
Georgia, absolutely. Starkville could get interesting if Nate Taylor pitches against Mississippi State. He's probably going to start. He's going to have to start in the 2-3 against Louisiana, but it makes for a compelling story because Mississippi State has not been doing good here down the stretch either.
All right. Here they are, Oklahoma State, plus 175 to win the Tuscaloosa Regional. Ole Miss, plus 170 to win the Lincoln Regional. These are all bets from Matt. Arkansas, plus 140 to win the Lawrence Regional. Oregon, minus 125 to win in Eugene. And Southern Miss at even money to win in Hattiesburg. Last question, I need a one-word answer. Who's winning it all, Matt?
Georgia Tech.
That's a two-word answer, but we'll accept it. We'll accept it. Georgia Tech, he
says. Okay, Georgia.
Wait a minute. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circle Resort Casino downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the house. Yulia Grabher. Walking off the court against Amanda Anisimova. Yeah, she couldn't handle the heat either.
Yep, she needed some medical attention. I was seeing during the match.
Players just falling left and right.
Man, there is quite a difference of being on one of the main stadiums than these side courts.
Oh, that's the case. You know where it's really...
There's like 80 people in attendance.
You ever seen the side courts at the U.S. Open? It's even worse than that, yeah.
Yeah, you're
a lot
right.
of foul ground here, Kelly. A lot of foul ground, as you like to say. By the way, we were joking there at the end, or we weren't joking. It turned out to be a humorous moment where I said, okay, one word answer. And he said Georgia Tech when I asked Matt Grissom, by the way, great appearance by Matt, about college baseball regionals. And he said Georgia Tech, and I said, oh, two words, I'll accept the answer. And then he goes, okay, Georgia. And it sounded like we were joking around, but he really did say in the break, he's like, now, actually, Georgia and Georgia Tech, for him, are the best two teams. They're on the same side of the bracket, and he says Georgia and Georgia Tech combined, by his numbers, a 56% chance to represent that side of the bracket ultimately in the College World Series best of three.
Yeah,
when
that's
all
pretty
is said and done at the very end.
And well done by him with the Georgia Tech thing.
Yeah. It was very well done. Here are, by the way, we didn't even show these, the College World Series odds. UCLA and Georgia Tech are the actual short shots to win it all, both at 4-1. The column on the right is to make the College World Series. Texas to win it all follows those two squads, plus 650. Then it's Georgia at 8-1. Mississippi State, Auburn, North Carolina finishing out the single digits there. I don't have a bet yet.
No, I don't have anything. I don't think I'm going to jump into this market right now, but I was paying attention last segment and paying attention to Jensen and a bunch of these guys talk college baseball. I think Arkansas and Oklahoma State I'm going to jump on with Matt.
I think Arkansas is the one that for me. 50-1 on Arkansas?
Oh, yeah. I was just talking the regional bets, but yeah, 50. Yeah, good point. No, 50-1.
I'm talking about to win it all.
Maybe I'll join you on that. I am going to bet them in the regional.
Be nice to have.
Mm-hmm.
As the NBA and NHL finals wind down.
No, totally, man.
And the World Cup looms, it will be nice to have a college baseball bet going as well.
That's why this is so great every year.
And one of these where it has nothing to do with our origination, we're just following our,
totally.
Our guys.
But it's like, it's an awesome tournament. It's exciting as hell every year. And yes, it helps you come down from the high of the NBA finals and the Stanley Cup final.
This is, we get Tweets of Beauty the book. This is a great comment from Brosek 1870. The heat affecting everyone at the French Open makes me think about the World Cup, he says. Paul Carr might have the right angle about European teams not being able to handle the heat.
Yeah.
I think that is the best tweet of the morning.
Yeah, that's great
from
stuff.
From an actionable standpoint.
We'll talk to Paul more about it tomorrow. Yeah. But yeah, he's been targeting betting on those South American teams and has brought that up multiple times.
Yeah. Chance Copperpot. Now that we've reached the last numbers game show of May, well, that's tomorrow, I can confidentially say Gilly and the lack of factual maple syrup tweets were the reason my Mariners failed this month. It was not the play on the field. # Trident Sup. Yeah. We ran out of days, as they say. We ran out of days.
Hey, you know what
we were never in it.
You know what I didn't get a chance to ask Todd about yesterday is like
Howdy Wishnev.
When's he going to start his own just social media like network like that? That whole chat going on in that Discord. Oh boy!
You know I don't follow the chat.
Me either. Unless I get tagged in there by Chance or Buddhist Man about syrup tweets.
Oh yeah, Wishnev says he goes. You should because there's a lot in there you would want to know.
There's a lot in there.
Scotty Leisure Suit Kobe. I'm Ron Burgundying my way through these. Hola. I remember hearing about Caesars buying Westgate on Visa. Well, wasn't Caesars buying Westgate? It was Caesars running their sportsbook operation. Was intrigued when Dwayne Colucci was on. He referred to Rampart as Caesars Sports buying them from Gone Gaming. This topic interests me. Did they try to buy South Point and Stations next, and what's the actual plan? Leisure Suit Kobe, they're not buying the properties. They are just running the sportsbook portion of those properties. Mike, believe me, Michael Gaughan ain't selling the Rampart or the South Point.
And Caesars today, right? Caesars... Fertitta to buy out Caesars Entertainment. $17.6 billion deal.
Fertitta buying them out?
Yeah.
You know that whole shopping center across City Center? That's a Fertitta land also. I thought he was going to build a casino there. Instead, it's like the biggest In-N-Out burger in all of Vegas, in all of maybe America.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it doesn't surprise me he owns that. It's the, man, have I heard a lot of rumors about buying land, building up places here, and just really never came to fruition, it seems like. But maybe buying out Caesars Entertainment is the better way to go.
That In-N-Out burger is like I could reach out my hand, but to get to it, I have to walk all... It's like a long walk to get to something right in my face.
It is... Things when people visit Vegas, the whole we've got dinner at the Cosmo tonight, and we're down at Luxor or something. Oh, I'm gonna walk it, and I'm like, all right, yeah, you have fun. Well, I'm gonna walk the strip. Yeah, that building's a lot further away than it looks.
Yeah, it is. JB Beds, JB says, with Sinner out, I sure wish I had that block 600-1 play, but for a practice foot injury, ugh. Yeah, he's talking about Alexander Blocks, who could not make his match with Alex Dimonur yesterday. Lefties losers. Fertitta just bought Caesars. Not sure the rep of Golden Nugget, but this has got to be an improvement. S. Watson. There's a very timely tweet right there. S. Watson. I jumped on Sinner minus 125 to win the French after you guys mentioned Carlos had a wrist splint on ANG. Sick about the result today, but give me at least $3 of CLV on my bet, and I'll take my chances. I have a new all-time plus CLV losing bet story out of this at least. Yeah. Oh, the CLV store.
Let's hit the store together, fellas.
We've done it again.
We're going to get one of them big, giant stuffed pandas. Biggest one they got. Ton of CLV.
P. PK Mountain Steeler Den. Ain't nothing like a salty cougar playing with a beaver without its ace. Washington State, Oregon State. Believe me, I'm not going to repeat that tweet. Russell Smith, Ryan Towers, who's the starting pitcher for Eastern Carolina tomorrow, is the son of former VSiN host Josh Towers. Go Pirates. Hey, shout out Josh Towers. I didn't know that was his son.
Say that again.
Ryan Towers, who's the starting pitcher for East Carolina tomorrow, is the son of Josh Towers.
There we go. That's awesome.
Let's go.
I didn't know that
either. I'm going to text Josh today right after the show for that. Auburnist, I know we have a lot of sports winding down, but I hope Kelly's working on his CFL preview. Starts next week. He can also throw us a preseason player, too, for the weekend. You doing CFL anymore, sir?
I have not done it in years, but shout out to you, Auburnist, for even remembering that. It's been a couple years since I've bet the CFL.
And William Wagers, wonder if any of the books offer a champion to come out of X state in the College World Series if Georgia and Georgia Tech are on the same side. Yeah, I haven't seen that.
I don't think they go that deep with college baseball, but creative prop. I like it.
I do like a creative prop.
All these books should have very open, like, submissions. Like, hey, email us in, like, ideas.
Here's where I shake my head. I'm sort of smiling because I'm channeling my mishpucha, Chrissy Andrews, who whenever he hears stuff like that, I can see his face.
You know, I'm going to get four bets.
Chrissy face, he goes, yeah, that's great. That's wonderful. Gives me more work. And then I'm going to get three bets on it for anything, right? I love his take on that kind of stuff.
Oh, man.
He's like,
true.
But he's right about this. We have no idea what actually people are actually betting. Only he behind the counter has the actual numbers on volume on that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The best, you know what his biggest pet peeve is, of course, is like, hey, because someone asked me this the other day on Twitter. I think it was after the show, so I didn't read it. Someone was asking me, what would you make a line between Rafa Nadal and Yannick Sinner? And I never got back to him, but I was going to say, peak Rafa? Come on, right? And this actually played out today. Is exactly Rafa. You think that would ever happen to Rafa? What happened to Yannick today? Please. But the point being that Chrissy, he hates those hypotheticals more than anything. What do you think the 1978 Alabama Crimson Tide in football would be against the this year's Miami Dolphins?
Dude, why does he hate that one more than anything, though? Because he could just throw out a number. It's not like he's actually booking that
one. He goes, well, yeah, why do I need that busy work?
I get, just for
people to come after me if I make a bad one.
Right,
you know,
like, right, yeah. I get the frustration of actually having to post and then book a market that you're going to take four bets on. What would you make that Nadal number? Minus 300?
Peak Nadal?
Yeah.
Versus peak Sinner or Clay? Well, you know, you don't think of Clay immediately when you think of Sinner.
Right.
I mean, Nadal would be in a match. I'd make him more than a $2 favorite. Peak Nadal, there is nothing more dominant. We had this discussion, who's the best role player of all time yesterday. Name me something in sports more dominant than Rafa Nadal on Clay, and specifically at Roland Garros.
Oh, I could not.
He won 14 of them.
So it's the greatest thing I've seen in my life.
Yannick Sinner, Schmonic Schminner, as my mother used to say. You have no chance against peak Rafa on Clay, especially if it's hot outside, as we learned today. No chance. But that's, Tales of Bookmaking 101. Coco about to take the court now. See if she can advance. I, of course, would be rooting against her. Banging an ego backer here, but separate sides of the bracket here. Coco taking it. But look, Coco's playing in the shade. So this is what happens when you play on this court at this hour.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be no heat problems in this one here. Coco taking on Maya Sharif, who we backed to a victory yesterday. By the way, two tennis plays remain today. Just for clarification, if you missed it, we're going to recap all the bets here momentarily. Arthur Rinderknecht on the men's side against Matteo Berrettini. He's a slight favorite. And then I am on Rafael Collignon, plus 178 versus the American Ben Shelton. Already 2-0 today. Three-day winning streak. Let us not forget, this is for Seth Finkelstein out there, that the day before that was an abject disaster at 1-5. Should point that out as well.
Who did Mertens lose to?
Mertens lost to Maya Shvalinsky. Shvalinska.
Oh, okay.
Why? What were you wondering?
Just wanted to hear that name pronounced.
Shvalinska. Shvalinska, I believe it's pronounced. Coming back on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, top of the hour. Unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. Looking forward to that, as always. Makes me great are Thursdays and Fridays. Every day is great here with you, Kelly Bidlin.
Ah, it's great with you,
but
Phil.
Thursdays crack comes in.
Tiafoe's losing it right now. I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut. He just ripped off the shirt. He's going to the other side.
Francis Tiafoe, big foe, beats Hubert Hurkacz in five sets, and Tiafoe is stripping. He's barely got any clothes on.
This is awesome.
He's excited.
I love Tiafoe.
He's like, this weather doesn't bother me. Longest match of his career, 4 hours and 43 minutes of that heat. Wow. All right, here's a recap of the bets. We got to talk OKC and San Antonio before crack comes in here. But again, here are the French Open bets. The remaining, Rinderknecht and Collignon. Rinderknecht against Berrettini, Collignon against Shelton as a big dog. Two winners this morning for subscribers at VSiN.com/picks, including Maya Schwalinska over Elise Mertens as a plus 173 dog. You, sir, what do you have?
Justin Thomas sucking at golf. That's what I've got.
very quiet on the golf this morning.
I've got at least Alex Smalley's up there, but there is currently a 7-way tie for first place at 4-under. Thor Bjornsson, Mackenzie Hughes, Ricky Castillo, Brian Harman, Keegan Bradley, Ryan Gerard, Russell Henley, all at 4-under par. Bets for me. Well, same game parlay action for me tonight, Gil. Spurs 4.5, sold out to that, went with Wembanyama over 27.5 points and a Wembanyama double-double that will play plus 254. Did add the Caruso Western Conference Finals MVP yesterday at 50-1. And then a little French Open parlay I just put together with Zach Cohen, Demon Hour and Rude, and then I threw in Madison Keys and Victoria Mboko.
And you do have Alex Caruso, 50-1 to win Western Conference MVP. Caruso down to 25-1 now as we head into game six.
Look, it's a long shot. I don't think those odds are representative of his true chances. As, you know, like
in your heart of hearts, do you think, let's say it's the scenario we paint. Let's say SGA has a, you know, not the greatest game in the world, but he has a, you know, competent game. He's maybe they're storming him, so he has to pass a little more. Caruso has another solid game. In your heart of hearts, do you think they give it to Caruso?
Man. I probably need two games like that, honestly.
So you need them to lose game six with that, but to win game seven with that.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's probably what the path is most likely, I think there's a chance in six.
By the way, if that's the case, that just represents how narrow a path it is for a guy that's not a superstar to win any of these.
I just hope you made a good point. And like, look, I think it's 50-1. Do I expect to win? No, yeah. I don't expect to win. Right. But You laid it out. I'm always get afraid of voters that just go, okay, well, what's the points? What's this? Okay, let's give it to the star player. That's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. We talked about this yesterday, though. The efficiency is way down for SGA. Both of these teams, great defensive teams, causing a heck of problems for both of the stars on the other side. I mean, he's a guy that shot over 50. It was like 55% from the field during the regular season. He's at 38% right now during this series.
You're also on the two NBA draft plays?
Yeah, Peterson first overall plus 350, Cameron Boozer third overall minus 125.
June 23rd. I'll be here soon enough. Zach Cohen on the show earlier. Tomorrow in tennis, I'll talk about the one that he has left today, first of all. Matteo Arnaldi, Stefanos Tsitsipas, over 37.5 games. That is Zach's remaining tennis play. All of Zach's tennis plays at visa.com/picks as well. Tomorrow he's got a parlay. Alex de Minaur and Casper Ruud. De Minaur are going against Jakub Mensik, who had to be lifted off the court after he won yesterday. And then Casper Ruud over Tommy Paul. So de Minaur, Ruud from Zach. And he is on Chet Holmgren tonight, over 13.5 points. Holmgren exceeding his win total in the last game as well. So he's on Chet Holmgren. Was that a Zach bet? Did I miss? Yes, that was a Chet Holmgren bet.
Yeah.
Over 13.5. Yep. Matt Grissom on moments ago from collegebaseballinsiders.com. Five regional plays. Oklahoma State, plus 175 to win in Tuscaloosa. Ole Miss, hottie toddy, plus 170 to win Lincoln Regional out there in Nebraska with the number one seed Cornhuskers. Arkansas, plus 140 to win in Lawrence. Oregon, minus 125 to win at home in Eugene. And Southern Miss, even money to win in Hattiesburg. Those are the five regional plays from Matt Grissom. He also gave a single play in there as well. We don't have it written down, but he threw one in there on Tennessee, I believe it was, tonight, from Matty Grissom. As far as OKC and San Antonio tonight, it's really interesting because this is, listen, we waited all NBA season for this collision course.
Mm-hmm.
right? This is the many of us have said this is the de facto NBA championship. Obviously, the Knicks are going to have something to say about that. De facto NBA championship. It's, you know, it's gonna a long series, even if it ends tonight, right? It's going to go six or seven games. And yet here we are the morning of game six. And Will sort of alluded to this the other day. I feel like besides game one, it's kind of been met in the sense that I'm never happy, right? I should appreciate what we're watching.
right. But we're never happy.
Every one of these, like the OKC games have been kind of, well, at least the second and third. I can't remember what the first one was, but kind of blowouts-ish or convincing wins. So here we are, game six, OKC looking for the closeout on San Antonio's home court at the AT&T Center there in San Antonio. Spurs are 3.5-point favorites, totals 219.5. You are not touching the side or total?
I'm on Spurs.
You are on the Spurs.
On Spurs, parlayed it with Wemby over points. I think we're extremely correlated. I think the Spurs are not winning this without Victor Wembanyama bouncing back and actually have a big scoring game.
Oh, was that what all that small type was on the screen that you had? Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah. So, yeah, Wemby over 27.5. I laid 4.5 with the Spurs. I actually sold out to that. So, yeah, look, I think we're going seven. I think we see a much, much different Spurs team here tonight. Wouldn't be shocked, though, if the Thunder closed this thing out. We'll see, man. This is, it's between the combination of the injuries. You've had the injuries that have made things a little gross. And then, like, they're two great defensive teams, right? Which also means a lot of fouls that occur. We've seen a lot of free throws. And I'm not just talking SGA. I'm talking in general. So I get it. But, like, this is, we're going to see this series several more times. I think we're going to see some better series between these two teams.
Oh, you for years to come.
Yeah.
Mean? Yeah, absolutely. We will. These teams aren't going anywhere. You think the Thunder are going to make a big draft deal for Boozer?
Which you were alluding to yesterday. Yeah, there's some reports out there. We'll see. I mean, I think that very much this Game 6 and Game 7 could have something to do with that if it goes against them.
You imagine that? They go back-to-back titles, and then they get Boozer in a draft deal?
I mean, they're still sitting on this war chest of picks of what they could do. And then young players on their roster that other teams would be interested in for sure.
Sam Presti, greatest GM in sports?
Yes.
With apologies to the Golden Knights, with apologies to whomever else.
Yeah, for me, for sure.
Listen, I got the Spurs 19-1. Obviously, I have rooting interest in the Spurs advancing here. But I wouldn't be surprised by any outcome tonight.
Yeah, no, me either. I'll probably play a little Spurs first half, too. I think if you're interested in the Spurs first half, you should look at this. They were the best first half ATS team all season long, continues into the playoffs. I'll probably play a little of that. I haven't yet, though.
NBA Killer Sports Challenge. I expect Kyle Akins to be on the Spurs tonight. I could be wrong. We'll see. We'll see about that. And again, Caruso, if you're holding a Caruso ticket for MVP, it's pretty interesting to me on this because it is just another one of these. How many different sports, you know, baseball, football, and beyond that we've talked about these awards bets? The number of times we've been thrilled versus the number of times we've been disappointed by the nature of how voters end up assessing these things. And we tend to be, dare I say it, way too, how would I want to articulate this? We're too smart for our own good on these things.
Oh, yeah.
We make perfect sense on all of this stuff. Here's why Caruso should win. Here's why Spencer Strider, until Spencer Strider blew up.
Con Knipple.
Here's why Con Knipple should win. Here's why all this stuff. And you know what, in the end? We just have to, if
give it to the star.
You just give it to the star, man, sometimes. So we'll see. I hope for those who have Caruso tickets like yourself, like Will Hill, I hope it works out for you, but good God.
I mean, look, even that was, good on Will for betting it after game one. I was like, man, I think I need to sit on this one and stew on this a little bit longer. It's just, as this series has played out, I can't ignore the fact anymore of how down the efficiency is from SGA. Will voters? I don't know, Gil, but I can't ignore that fact. This has been a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's finishing with good numbers. It's a lot done at the free throw line. The Spurs are making it a living hell out there for him.
You agree with Zach, though? Their whole strategy of like sending guys at him so he's forced to like pass the ball, but two wide open guys who have shown the ability to knock down open shots. from behind the arc consistently is not a good one for the Spurs.
Yeah, completely agree. I actually,
Castle one-on-one with Shea has had his moments.
I was going to say, I actually think tonight we see both of these teams go, hey, we're going to throw Hartenstein on Wemby. We got to live with whatever he can do for, you know, a lot of minutes. And then Castle, you got to shut down SGA. We cannot leave Jared McCain wide open for another three.
Daryl Morey, how do you let him go for nothing? Not nothing, but you know.
Yeah.
How are you going to let Jared McCain go?
Well, he paid the price.
What are you thinking, man? Yeah, he did pay the price. Daryl Morey losing his job. You can almost draw a direct line from that to him losing his job, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. And every Paul George contracted, yeah.
Every time McCain hits a shot, I was like, oh, yeah, he's done. Coming back, unscripted, Crack Man, next on A Numbers Game.